All right. It's me again. Last weekend, I wasn't here. I did a massive mountain bike race, and I'm here in one piece. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Survived. It's good to be back. It's going to be it's middle of August. Can you believe it? There's not a lot left of this year. It's been a good journey so far. It's been a good year. I believe it's been a good year so far. We've seen God move. We've seen things happen. But many will also testify like every other year that for some this has been a challenging year. There's been challenges. There's been things that you've got to work through. And yeah, but I pray that tonight that I felt the Lord. This is not the title of my preach, but I asked God, what is it that you want to do? What is it what you want to bring? And I heard the word substance. I feel like God wants to bring substance tonight. And for me, substance means like God isn't here tonight to give you candy floss. Spook awesome. Because no one gets satisfied with spook awesome. God wants to serve you a juicy steak tonight. And not because I'm a gifted, I don't see myself as a gifted or a talented speaker. I'm just someone that I believe that's proclaiming the Word of God. And I hope that tonight, as I proclaim the Word of God, that something will shift in your heart, something will shift in your life. Not because I'm the one bringing the Word, it could be anyone, but because it's the Word of the Lord. I feel like God wants to bring substance tonight. And I'm speaking tonight about living by faith. Living by faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, faith. Living by, let's just joke. I just had to. Living a life of faith. Living by faith. While you are here on the earth, what is it that God wants of you? Come on, random. I'm not trying to ask. Just say, what is it that God wants of you? What is, while you are living here, what do you believe? What is God looking for in your life? Sorry, I can't hear. Loving God, loving people. Obedience. Come on. Jump on the train, the bandwagon. What is it that you surrender? Devotion. Trust. This side of the crowd is quite awake. You guys, what are you sensing and feeling? What is God looking for this side? Faith. He listened well to the title of my message. Well, to be honest, I don't think any of the other answers are wrong. But when you go look in the Bible, and I'll put the scripture up there, Luke 18 verse 8, it's the only scripture that I find in the New Testament or in the Bible for that matter, where God says, when he's coming to the earth, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? And I think there's something of this that implies, do you know that in heaven you won't need faith? Do you know that? Faith in heaven is irrelevant. It's hopeless, pointless. You're not going to need faith in heaven because Jesus is going to be right there. And you're going to be like, I want to worship him. But here on the earth, some people go like, where's Jesus? I don't really see him. I don't really feel him. I'm not really connected to him. So on this side of eternity, if I can say, the one thing that is really important is faith. But the thing about faith is, and I'm speaking in my own life, I've got this tendency, and maybe you can relate with me, I've got a tendency to complicate things, to overcomplicate. I've got a tendency to take something that is really simplistic and I make it really complicated. Anyone that can relate? Glad I'm not alone in that one. You see, faith is not something that we need in heaven, but it, as a Christian, as a believer, it's something that we cannot live without. And I'm going to show you why, and I think why it's important. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 to 10. So we are always of good courage. Who is always of good courage? God says, so we are. But it's not easy to be of good courage all the time. Do you agree with me? Especially that moment when you hear the petrol price going up. Especially when someone tells you there's a possibility of the electricity rate going up with 80%. Blah, 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 blah. And when you get that really bad news and you are in, you just in this, it's not really always easy to be of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, verse 7, not by sight. So yes, verse 8, we are of good courage. I would say that, just a freebie, the mark of someone that walks by faith is they are always of good courage. The moment when you are, even in your own life, the moment when your courage drops, it should be a red flag signal to yourself that you've stepped out of faith. That's a good word. Write that down. I didn't make a note on that one. So that's... Christopher. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's the second thing. The moment that you get comfortable in this life and you forget about the moment when the longing for heaven fades, that's when you know I'm moving away from faith. To be of faith is to always long for Jesus. More than what I long for earthly comforts, earthly things, anything in this world. Courage, good courage, like Jeff, someone that being of good courage is a sign that you are walking by faith. But a second sign, and this is actually a sign that I can't measure it in Quibus, because Quibus is sitting there with blank eyes, staring at me, giving me a smile. I really don't know. If he, at this very moment, if there's a longing in his heart to be with God, I don't know. So this is something to walk by faith is to one degree something that is between you and God. There's things I can look at in your life that can give me an indication, obviously. But as Quibus sits there, I don't know whether he longs to be with Jesus more than what he thinks of the Rugby World Cup next month. I don't know. But it says here in the Word that we would rather, if you're a Christian, you would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home here on the earth or away, this is important. We make it our what? Our aim to please who? To please God. That means our aim is to live for the glory of God. Who of you agree with me? That is the goal of your life, is to live for God's glory. No, there's only a few people. Do all of you believe that? All right. Just hang on there for a moment. Who of you, I'm just going to, rhetorically, so you don't have to respond to me. If that's the aim of your life, who of you feel like you're doing a really good job of it? Don't answer me, but just you and God. All right. I think tonight, through the Word, not through my insight, I'm going to give you the keys. Not me. The Bible is going to teach you tonight how to please God, how to live a life that is. I'm hoping tonight that all of us we will get on that place where we actually, our lives is being lived for the glory of God. Because get there now. We make it our aim, verse 9, to please him. Verse 10, why? Why do we want to please God? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So 2 Corinthians 5, that scripture we read, speaks about the goal of the Christian life is to live for the glory of God. It's to live a life that's pleasing unto Jesus. Who wants that? All right, I'm going to give you the key. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. it doesn't say without love. It doesn't say and without anything. It says without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. For me, to live on the earth a life glorifying Jesus, the one ingredient that you cannot not have is faith. But the problem with faith is, if I had to go around this room right now and I had to ask every single one of you, what is your definition of faith? I think all of us would have something, would have a different answer. Not, that's not good or bad. That's just, I'm just, because I think faith is something that's actually very difficult to define. It's very difficult to exactly say this is what faith is. What is faith? It's really difficult to get a pinpoint definition of faith. Would you agree with me that the guy next to you would probably have a different understanding of what faith is than you? Someone would say faith is this and that. Do you get what I'm saying? The aim of the Christian life is to please God. We cannot please God without faith. So faith is really important. But what is faith? And I think that's something that I would like to go into tonight. What is, without faith, it's impossible. So we need to understand what it is. Because if we don't understand what faith is, we're not going to live a life pleasing to God. And I believe all of us, regardless of your life up until this moment, I believe all of us can live a life pleasing to Jesus. For me, the best place to look at the meaning of faith, to understand what faith is, and I believe is to look at the Bible. But more specifically, the Bible has a chapter called The Heroes of the Faith, Hebrews 11. But Hebrews 11 verse 1 gives us, actually starts off with the definition of what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I love what Jonathan Conrad says. He says, we as Christians, we are not the hope-so people. We are the know-so people. We know it because we live by faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's not like a airy-fairy hope. It's out there. I remember when I was 13 years old, PlayStation 2 got just out onto the market. I had a PlayStation 1, but I wanted a PlayStation 2. And somehow I convinced myself, we played our last game of the season against Eversdal. I was in Gene Lowe. And I convinced myself somehow, but I never had this conversation with my parents. I somehow convinced myself that if I play the best rugby game of my life, my dad's going to buy me a PlayStation 2. I played a cooker. We won. Gene Lowe that year. We beat Eversdal. I remember the scoreline, 12-5. Op Eversdal was a felt. But I didn't get a PlayStation 2 because there was no agreement. That was a airy fear. But this is a different kind of hope. This is the hope that if I play well, I know that I'm going to get a PlayStation 2. It's a different kind. It's a sure hope. It's assurance. That word is a strong word. It means it's locked in. I know it's there. It's like this past weekend, myself and my friend Leonard, we did the mountain bike race. Now I've done it twice before. So right at the end of this race, there's this long hill, like really long, 10 kilometers long to be precise. It's not so steep, but it's long. And it's actually called the Never Ender. So the name gives it away. But my friend Leonard, he's never ridden this thing. I know that you think you're at the top, then you're actually like only halfway. Because then when you get to the top, when you get to what seems like the top, you go down a little bit just to climb again. But I knew that. So my hope was not in that first. I knew when we were at, but Leonard thought, oh yes, we're at the top. And I said to him, no, Leonard, we're not. There's still a long way to go. before we get to the top of this beast. You see, but I've been there. I've been on that road, even though it's night. I know when we get to the top. And that's the thing of faith. Faith, it's the conviction of something that you don't see right in front of you. It's the assurance. It's like, I know that I know it's there. When God has spoken to you, you know that God has spoken. When God has told you to stop and to minister for someone, it's that feeling is that, like, if I move on, I know I'm going to displease God. That's faith. That sense of, I know that I've got to do something right now because the King of Kings, He spoke to me. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And ultimately, I think what brings into perspective here is eternal life. Christians are people that know that heaven is waiting. Heaven, eternity with Jesus is just around the corner. We are the people that live, that are the advertisement for this world that says, don't get comfortable because this is actually a really short life. Heaven is coming, or hell is coming. For me, a life of faith is a life of conviction and assurance. And I think one of the best ways that God tests our faith and grows our faith is through difficult times. I think that's God's best way of acting. And the Bible says that suffering produces character. Character produces hope. What is faith? Is assurance of things hoped for. I'm telling you, nothing produces faith better than trusting God in suffering and difficult times. No amens there, but that's okay. Faith brings certainty. Faith brings clarity. But the thing, you know, faith, here's the thing, faith sets you free from fear. When you walk by faith, you don't walk by fear. When you walk by faith, you've stepped away from fear. Your life is no longer controlled by fear. And when I mean fear, it could be fear of the dog, but that's actually not what I'm... Let's just take a real relevant example too, where a lot of people find themselves in South Africa. Our country is in an economic crisis mess. A lot of people are finding themselves in real tight situations, real difficulties. We've seen a mass exodus the last couple of months of people going off to Australia, New Zealand, and wherever. For some people, I think God might send them. And I'm just using that as an example. But my question is, and only God knows, in their hearts, what motivated them to go? Faith or fear? Faith or fear? South Africa is going to be a terrible place. I don't want to be here. I'm scared that I don't have a future. I'm scared my children is not going to... Does that sound to you like faith or fear? Faith is... Kubus, pack your bags. God is speaking. Pack, Kubus, I want you to go to Australia. I want you to go to Switzerland. I want you to go to North Korea. Wherever. What's the other? Say it. Faith is responding to the voice of God. Fear is responding to your own feelings, responding to what is going on around you. The disciples, when they were in the boat, the storm, Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing? They were afraid that their own lives were not being cared for. And Jesus said, and he rebukes them. And then he rebukes, faith is to not be afraid of what's going on around you. And I think that's real relevant where we find ourselves. Romans 14:23. Actually, this, a lot of people are, you want to know what sin is and not sin is? Well, here it is. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Right now, we are, I can touch this man. He's a physical being. This is what we call the natural world. But at this very moment, there's what we call a spiritual world or a spiritual realm. Now, the Word of God says that for me, faith is about looking not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. So for another, and I'm going to make this real practical. I'm not saying that your job is not important or how much money you earn is not, but I'm saying my life is not governed by what is going on in the natural. I'm trying to live my life what is governed according to the supernatural, the spiritual realm. It's like right now in this building, there is radio waves. If your brain had the right transmitter in, you would right now be going crazy because you'd be picking up all kinds of Bok Radio, KFM, RSG. Praise God that we don't have that transmitters. But just because we're not picking up the radio, doesn't mean the radio signals. If I had to put a radio ear and tune it in, we'd be listening to the radio. So right now, even as you're listening to me, you're either making a choice. You're either perceiving in the natural, or you're either tapping into what is supernatural. And I want to suggest to you that even with preaching or community on a Wednesday, that if you're going to listen and receive the message in the natural, it's going to have no benefit in your life the rest of this week or forever in your life for that matter. You've got to tune into the Spirit. You've got to be of faith. You've got to say, God, what is it that you are doing right now that I cannot see with my eyes? Because actually that's where I want to tap into, because that's what's going to change me from the inside out. But this thing about faith for me has been, over the years, it's been challenging because I've been a Bible school student. I've read books and stories of people of extraordinary faith. I've read books of guys. I've read Andrew Murray, just to name a few, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, Heidi Baker, Mother Teresa, Catherine Kuhlman, Smith Wigglesworth. And to be honest, if you're going to open those are just to name a few. There's many more. But if you're going to open their books, you're going to hit a wall in some way. You're going to hit a wall of like, whoa. What am I doing with my life? Because I'm not doing the right thing. Kind of. I'm just sharing personally. That's like, even maybe Angus Buck and throw his name in there. Just people of faith and the way they do life. And to be honest, when I look at these people, I'm kind of intimidated by their faith. I'm kind of intimidated with what they do with their life. And I've had to wrestle over the years with this kind of question of my life. Like, God, do you want me? Is it that there's a group of people that you've selected to live extraordinary lives? Who have you, like, wrestled with that before? It's like, I know some of you have, like, and immediately, like, we feel like if we want to be extraordinary for God, we need to sell everything, go to somewhere in Africa or something like that. But I've had to wrestle with God about this thing about faith. God, is there something like extraordinary faith or extraordinary people, Christians that live by faith? Or even, I think of Andrew Selly that planted Josh Jen, 3 people in a living room. That's how Josh Jen got started, how it got birthed. Today, Josh Jen is over 3,000 adults. It's over 1,000 children. And it's impacting nations, the world. Is it because Andrew Selly has got a special faith? Is there something as, and I feel like the Lord, and I Luke 17 verse 5, I relate with these disciples when I, like these guys, these heroes, these legends of the faith, I relate with these disciples that says, Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Who of you have ever, somewhere in your life, said, Jesus, I need more faith? But actually, and I want to show you, Jesus actually gives us a very powerful secret about faith. Let's read. And the Lord said, if you, the apostle said, verse 5, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. This is actually Jesus' disciples, and I understand where they find themselves. They are walking with Jesus. I mean, miracles left, right, and center. Healings, dead being raised, ears being opened, blind seeing, bread multiplied, water turned into wine. Can you imagine what it must be like living or walking with Jesus? And the disciples at one point, they're trying to get a demon out of a guy and or whatever. And they're like, Jesus, we can't do this. Or I can't remember if this is but there's something that they couldn't do. And they're like, Jesus. And it was something like Jesus does in his sleep, basically. And they're like, Jesus, increase our faith. And then Jesus actually in verse 6 says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to, what he's saying actually is that faith should never be measured in quantity. Faith is always measured in quality. In other words, Jesus is saying that a little drop of faith is exactly the same as the Nile River of faith. Faith is not about how much you have. It's about the quality. It's about in whom are you trusting. It's about where your faith is, not how much faith you've got. So Jesus actually says, guys, you've got it wrong. You don't need more faith. You just need real faith. Because if you just had a little bit of faith, this would not have been a problem. And so for all of us, if we're in a place where we say, God, I need more faith, God is actually saying, no, you don't need more faith, you need real faith. Because more of the faith what you have, if it's not working, 0 times 1 is 0, 0 times 10 is also 0. So more of what you have is not going to solve the problem. You need more of the, you need the real thing, not more of the wrong thing. This has been a real revelation for me. It's kind of like I think of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes where Jesus multiplied. And the disciples came and they said to Jesus, what we have is not enough. How are we going to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And Jesus says, get the people to sit down. You see, for Jesus, one drop is the same as, it's not about how much you have. If you've got something that's real, it's enough to feed everyone. So faith is not a question of how much faith you have, and certain people have got more. And it was a real revelation for me when I look at these heroes of the faith, people that books I read, and actually God is bringing me to a place and an understanding of it's not about how much faith I have, it's about where is my faith? And is my faith real? Am I really looking to Jesus? Am I really trusting Jesus when the pawpaw hits the fan? Are you with me? Does it make sense? Faith is not measured in quantity, but in quality. So, let's go back to Hebrews. Or let's go to, not back for the first time, or maybe go back. I don't know if we've been there, but let's go to Hebrews 11. First we're going to go to, so Hebrews 11 is, for those who don't know, is the Bible's chapter of faith. Look, this is a great example. Look there. Eroderol, role of honor, Eroderol, same thing, English, Afrikaans. But that is the legends of the school. I miss our Phillips friends, by the way. But these are, not every person in high school Stellenberg gets their name up there. You with me? In other words, daar's nie die suurstofdiewe van Hoërskool Stellenberg. They did something. They contributed something. So Hebrews 11 is like that. It's like the heroes of the faith. But I believe like we shouldn't look at that and go, I don't want my name up there. I think if that's if I'm obviously we're not in high school Stellenberg, but in heaven, I don't know. But if there's a, I think there's going to be a hall of faith. On the way to Jesus, we're going to walk down this. I can't say that it's in the Bible, but I think so. So, just for me and for because yeah. Anyway, so there's going to be this hallway of faith. I believe, like heroes of legends, and they're going to, as we go to Jesus, they're going to cheer us on. And then it's like, even right now, I would love my name to be up there. Not because I want my name to be, but. But there's something in that. There's something in that of having done something, of having achieved something. I don't believe God created us to just, you know what? No one is special. No one is important. No, there's something of that actually reflects something of God, I believe. That's why God actually, I think, Hebrews 11, what is 8 sonar in English? Thank you. Sets apart and names individual people who did stuff for God that counted. If God didn't want anyone to be noticed that did something, I don't think Hebrews 11 would have been in the Bible. So, but before we get to Hebrews 11, we read in Hebrews 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. So in other words, you need endurance because God is not coming back immediately. That's what it's saying. Then verse 38. Yes, you can go on. But my righteous. If you are in Christ, you are part of my righteous. My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We are not of those who shrink back, but we are of those who have faith. It's impossible to be righteous. It's impossible to be in relationship with God and not have faith. It's not possible. It is not possible. Say not possible. On the other hand, it's not possible to have faith, but not to be righteous. It's impossible. Because the righteous shall live by. If you are a child of God, the word of God says, you shall live by faith. There's no other way. There's no other possibility. The righteous will endure. The righteous will not shrink back. Why? Because the righteous have set their eyes not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. The righteous understand that the real economy is in heaven and not in South Africa. The righteous understand that this world is falling apart, but the righteous looks not to this world for security, for comfort. The righteous looks to the unseen. And they live by faith. And that's why, like, circumstances that's not going well. I'm not going to ask, but I know there's a lot of people sitting here, like, you either in a storm, you've been through a storm, or if you're not in a storm, you're going to go into a storm. So face it. Storms are a part of this life. But you know what I love about a storm? It reveals where our faith is at. It reveals whether we actually have real faith. And if you're in a storm and you're saying, God, increase my faith so that I can go through this thing, you're praying the wrong prayer. You say, God, give me real faith. Because if I've got real faith, I would look to the unseen, not to what I see. And what is in the unseen is a city that cannot be shaken. So I'm realizing I'm already over my time that I've allocated to myself. So I've got 4 points that I want to make from Hebrews 11. 4 points that I believe Roan, kan jy gou gaan na 2 Korintiërs 13 vers 5. Wie's op Ivy? Oh, Karel. Dis my, yes, thank you. Yes, vinnig. Well done. Examine yourselves. Skryf eksamen met jouself oor jouself. Examine yourself to see what? To see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about... Okay, I'm not going to read... I'm going to just focus on the first part. No one tonight should assume that they are in the faith. So there can be no assumption. Niemand moet aanneem, I'm okay with God. The word says, examine yourselves. If you could assume that you were okay with God, then the word would not have said, examine yourself. So you actually have a responsibility tonight to test, to see, am I really in the faith? I'm going to give you 4 points from Hebrews 11, what I believe, how you can actually test whether you are in the faith. And I'm going to go quickly through them. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. I'm just going to focus on the first part. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable... In the Old Testament, that was an... It was an... The offering of sacrifices was an act of worship. If you want to see whether you're in the faith, look at how you worship. And I mean worship on a Sunday, but I mean more than worship on a Sunday. I mean, is your life, is your finances, is your time, are you worshiping God with everything you've got? I would say number one, test number one, are you in the faith? The test of worship. The test of worship. Number two, Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. The second test for faith, if you are in the faith, is you have got a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear of God. If you are not scared of God in some way, and I mean, like, God is not... He's not, we don't have to be scared. He loves us if we are his children. But there's this other side to God where God is actually really scary. He's actually someone that you don't play tok toki at his house. You all know that guy, that woman in your neighborhood when you grew up. There's that one house you don't play tok toki. He's sitting there with his shotgun. And I don't mean to equal God to that woman. Please, no. But you get what I'm saying? God, there's a healthy... Nigel. don't. Those who are righteous live by faith. And those who live by faith live in awe of God. Live in a healthy, whoa, God, you are bigger than what I can ever think of. God, I submit. I'm yours, God. I yield. You are holy, God. You are worthy, God. By faith, we understand that God is, whoa, there's awe. God is not someone that we can mess around with like our buddy. Sometimes he does allow us to mess around. Sometimes God does allow us to have fun. And there's all the, but there's a side of, God, when Noah built the ark, God wasn't like, Noah, woo, water party, waterballone. No, I'm sure the message was not one of, it was like, Noah, okay, God. Number three, by faith, Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed. If you are living by faith, your life will be marked with obedience. Obedience, to live obediently is to live by faith. Number four, Hebrews 11 verse 11, and I don't have time to go through all of Hebrews 11. I just focused on four, actually the first part of Hebrews 11. I'm going to continue on this in another preach. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. I want to say that faith unlocks the supernatural. Faith unlocks the power of God in your life. Faith unlocks the destiny of God over your life. Faith gives you power. Not like faith gives you the power. By faith, you unlock the power of God over your life. Sarah was 99 years old, I can't remember, but somewhere in the 90s. That's not the time in your life when you're going to have children. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive. By faith, through her life, God did the impossible. Through faith in her life, God raised up a generation. So four things. The Bible says, test yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Worship. Are you worshiping God extravagantly, passionately? And I mean on a Sunday, but I mean with your life. I mean with your time, with your energy. Or is like worship something, oh God, I'll worship you when I have time. But you know what, my life is mine. I'm not. The Bible says, test yourselves. Do you live with God? Wow, you are awesome. You are, God, I'm actually sometimes too scared to come close to you because you are so pure. You are so holy. You are so majestic. And I think that's something that we, as a young generation, that's something that we've not been in touch with that side of God too much. You agree with me? We've been more introduced to the love of God. But if we walk by faith, there's a healthy fear of God. Thirdly, by faith, we live obediently. Fourthly, God gives us power for what He wants to do in our lives. He unlocked for the things that He has spoken over our lives. I'm going to end with one scripture. Romans 8 verse 8. Did I give it to you? I didn't give it to you guys, but here it is. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's pray. We worship you, Lord. Jesus, right now every single one of us has we have got the potential to live a life that is pleasing to you. The potential is there to live a life that brings glory to your name. But that doesn't mean all of us, whether we've got born again, it doesn't mean that that's going to happen. But your word says, Lord, that the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Your word says that the righteous, Lord, will not shrink back. They will not be of those that shrink back, but they will be those that have faith and preserve their souls. They will be those that persevere, that go through the storms. They will always be of good courage. I pray, God, that we would be a people of faith, a people of substance, Lord. That we would be a people not influenced by the economy, not influenced by the politics of our country, not influenced of the sexual orientation of the world, God. But that we would be a people steadfast in faith. That we would be a people that live righteously because we are of faith, God. And that we would test ourselves tonight to see whether we are in the faith, Lord. Because those that live by faith, Lord, they worship extravagantly. Those who live by faith have a fear of God. Those who live by faith, Lord, are those, Lord, are those that live flat out for you, God, and give you glory, God. They obey you, God, and they worship you, God. Lord, and those who live by faith, Lord, you give them power to inherit promises. You give them power to overcome things. You supernaturally empower them. So Lord, right now, I just pray, God. I pray, Lord, that we would test ourselves. I pray that we would move back to faith, Lord. Where we've gone into maintenance mode. Where we've gone into what is easy, what is comfortable, what is understandable. I want to ask you, when was the last time someone questioned what you're doing? Because you actually heard God and you're making a decision because you've heard God, but it goes against the logic. When was the last time you took a risk in God? When was the last time where God said to you, I want you to go on an outreach, and you knew that you didn't have the money, but you knew God spoke? I feel like God wants to raise our level of faith. God doesn't want us to just sit here on a Sunday and have good meat. No, God wants us to be a people of faith. He wants your name up on the wall of heaven. He wants to tell people, look at my son, look at my daughter, and look at how they lived by faith. I pray, Lord, that we would be those that find our names down the hallways of heaven. We'd be those of faith.